pre-request over there, Miss Tina.
We have an unspoken request for Chris Cook.
Okay.
And then my friend Sabrina is a caregiver for her son Brandon, who has muscular dystrophy. He's been sick since last week. He had a procedure yesterday that went well. They were going to spend a night in the ICU, and they're hoping to go home soon.
Okay. So. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. All right. Let's go to the throne room. Father, we are so thankful. Father, we just thank you that your presence is with us. And God, we are full of hope because of it. Father, you said those without God are without hope. But Father, we are not those without you. Father, we recognize you. We value you. We honor you today. And God, we recognize that you are with us. And Father, we lift these precious people before you. God, you love them. They are so dear to you. So dear, in fact, you sent your one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die for them. And Father, right now we want to lift them up to you because, God, they have some things going on. And Father, you said if we call on you, you would not only hear, but you would answer. Father, you know Chris Cook's unspoken request. You know what's going on in his life. And God, we ask you to minister to him. Father, I thank you that you know every detail about him. In fact, the word says you know the very number of hairs on his head. And so, Father, if you take that much detail for Chris, I know, God, that you are very much aware of what's going on in his life. And God, we ask you right now to minister to Chris. God, we ask you to pour out in his life. God, I ask that you give him wisdom for anything he needs wisdom for. God, we ask you to give him solutions for the things he's facing. God, that he'll know how to handle the things he's up against. Father, we ask you to give him peace. Father, that you'd give him joy, that the life of God would overtake him, that any death trying to set up in him, whether it's in body, soul, or spirit, would be driven out in Jesus' name. And God, we pray that you would just fill him with hope, God, that confident expectation that you're not only for him, God, but that you are with him and that you are the one who has already gone ahead of him. That everything he's dealing with today, Father, your word says you made provision of that at the beginning of the foundation of the world, even before it. Father, you said before you laid the foundation of the world, Father, you already had our destiny and purposes in mind. God, you were already calling us before all of that. And God, you know the end from the beginning. So, Father, you already knew what Chris was coming up against. And, Father, you went ahead of him and made provision for him in this day and hour. So, Father, we just ask you to open his eyes to see the provision that is there for him today. God, that he will have what he needs to come over that. And God, we just ask for the abundant grace to be poured out on Brother Chris, because Father, grace will enable him to come over that which is in front of him. And God, we just pray that you just encourage his spirit today. Father, thank you that you not only hear, but you answer. And Father, we want to lift up Sabrina, Father, her family. God, you know Brandon, her son, and everything he's battling. God, right now, we rebuke that. Is it muscular dystrophy? Okay, we curse that thing to death in Jesus' name. We know that muscular dystrophy does not come from you. So we rebuke it in Jesus' name. Father, we live in a world where these things do come. But Father, we thank you that the name of Jesus is greater. And so God, we come against that in Jesus' name. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. Father, I say muscular dystrophy has no power in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that Christ in Brandon is greater than muscular dystrophy. God, I thank you that your plans for Brandon are for good. God, you know what he's been going through. But Father, I thank you that life can overtake the death. God, right now we speak life on Brandon. Father, that his body would function as you intended it to function. Father, that name, God, is just a name, but Jesus is the name above all other names. So I say muscular dystrophy, bow to the name of Jesus. Bow to the name of Jesus. God, cause his body to work better than it's ever worked. God, cause his muscles to work like they shouldn't work. And he'll be a living, walking, breathing, talking testimony. Because even though it's said that he has muscular dystrophy, God, it makes no sense why his muscles work better than they should work, because it's Jesus in him. Christ, we ask you to cause him, God, cause him to be strong and healthy. I thank you that you're causing him to overcome any sickness trying to overtake him right now. And God, I give you glory for that. And Father, right now we ask you to contend with the enemies that are contending with Brandon. God, you are so faithful to do that. And we even ask that you contend with the enemies that are contending with Brother Chris. Father, we know that you are the victor, and we ask you to bring the victory in both these situations, and we give you all glory and all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott.
You want to share your location and time?
Yes, yes. I'm terrible about this.
Do you need the paper?
Yeah, probably.
To help. Okay.
Otherwise, I'll just be like trying to rack my brain thinking about it. Okay. Okay, we are the Refuge Church at New Liberty. We've joined together. It's been a wonderful, wonderful thing what God's doing. Our address is 18304 East 1140 Road. If you have a cell phone, you can type into your Google Maps or even in, I don't know what it is on iPhone, but you can type in New Liberty. Just type in New Liberty, and as long as it's New Liberty, Oklahoma, you'll be fine. It'll get you there, and it'll get you right to the place, because sometimes when you type in this address, it's tricky. I don't know. Some phones, it's different, and it can lead you way off in the boondocks. So if you just put in New Liberty, it'll take you there. We are on Highway 152 at the stoplight in Sayre. You go 4 miles west, and then you'll turn back on a road that I think is 1830 Road, and you will go back north 5 miles, and we're right there. The sign says New Liberty, and we've just joined with them. So I want to also say that we are starting at, on Sundays, we start at 10:45 in the morning, and we have Sunday school at 10. But then on Sunday evening, we start at 6, and then Wednesday night, we have a Merge Youth Group as well, and that starts at 7. And so we'd love to have you come out. God is really moving, and we always say that come where the glory of God changes everything. Amen.
Amen. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. We all have guidelines that we live by. These guidelines are protective. They're essential to a truly productive life. They not only give you increase on the outside, they bring you security on the inside. When the guidelines are established is important. You don't want to establish them in the journey, but before you begin, how you start will be an indicator of where you will end.
Bardice and Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Her title for today is, I Pick You.
I Pick You. Yes. Okay. Well, let me jump right back into it, because why is this called I Pick You? Well, we've laid the foundation for jealousy and the root of that. And like we said earlier, it's pride. But at the same time, God said to me, Tammy, he said, the real root of that is the desire to be recognized. And so it's a deep-seated thing within us that we don't feel like we have value, and we just want somebody to value us, right? So I told you I was going to – I talked about dodgeball. And when I was a kid, I mean, literally, all the time, you know, I'd play sports and all that and everything, and But it was like I never got picked, okay? I never got picked. And I always thought, I don't understand why, because I think I'm really good, okay? I really thought, and I'm going to be honest with you, I still think I was decent, okay? I mean, I was just like on the basketball field. I was like, I'm basketball field. See, that's the problem. Chris is like, my husband's like, Tammy, you don't even know the lingo. My son's getting ready and he's putting his uniform on and I constantly call it his outfit. And Chris goes, it's a uniform, Tammy. Don't call it an outfit. So I'm like, your outfit looks so cute. He's like, it's a uniform. I'm like, okay, whatever. So anyway, that could be one reason I wasn't played a whole lot. Okay. So anyway, either way. So and the Lord showed me one time that the reason they didn't pick me or why the coach didn't play me in basketball was because he said, Tammy, you were unteachable. Okay, because he said I was always he would say play 3-1-1, and I would say I was thinking I think man to man works better, and I wouldn't say anything to him, but I'd get out there and play man to man, and I'd steal the ball, and I think, boy, I'm shining now. But he said, Tammy, you were unteachable. And so one day he was talking to me even about dodgeball and all this, and the kids would pick me last, and he brought me the revelation. I'm not kidding you. This was just recently. He said, Tammy, do you know why they never picked you for things like that? And I said, no, why? He said, because you were a ball hog. I said, what? He said, you were a ball hog. Nobody wanted to play with you. I said, I was a ball hog. He said, nobody could get in to do anything because you were always hogging it all. So nobody wanted to play with you, Tammy. I said, oh, my gosh. And he said, do you know why you were a ball hog? I said, no, why? He said, because you wanted to be valued. You wanted to be important. You wanted somebody to think something about you was special, and they wanted you. They wanted to choose you. Boy, we need Tammy on our team, you know, because she can really do something. He said, you were trying to be recognized because you didn't know your value. I said, oh, my gosh, Lord. Thank you for that revelation. And so I want to say this today. The Lord gave me this word, and I want to speak it over your life. I want you to take this straight from the Father because he gave this to me and I know it's for you. He said, my child, do not fret and worry, for your place in my kingdom is assured. Now listen, that word assured means this. It means protected against discontinuance or change. He's not going to change his mind about where he put you in his kingdom. It's not going to be taken away from you. He said, your place in my kingdom is assured. He said, do not cling to anything but me. He said, do not cling to gifts. Do not cling to prophecies. Do not cling to positions. And do not cling to people. He said, but cling to me alone. He said, I want all of you, and I desire for you to have all of me. But that can only happen as you let go of everything but me. And I hope that when God calls me to step aside from pastoring, I'm quick to do it. Why? Because pastoring is not where I'm supposed to put my value in. My value is in Christ. And if I put it in anything else, I'm going to be discouraged and downcast when that thing is gone. My value is not in my gifts. My value is not in the prophecy spoken over my life. My value is not in what people say about me. My value is in Christ. And so the Lord said, he told me this story one time about a woman under an apple tree. I've used it a lot. But long story short, the apple tree story is this. It comes from the Song of Solomon picture. And it was where the woman was sitting under like an apple tree with the Lord. And she's sitting there and it's beautiful. And it's the apples are flourishing and it's warm. And it's like the best place you've ever been. And everything is wonderful. And everything is great. And then one day Jesus gets up and he says, I got to go because there are others like you that need me. Would you come with me? Let's go. And she looks out and it's out into the darkness and it looks scary and it's not a place she wants to go. And it's a mountainous area and she knows the creatures that are out there. And she says, you know what? I'm going to stay here because she loves what she found in that apple tree. She loves what she found there. She found value in that apple tree. Okay. She found value and worth in that place. It satisfied something in her. She had never found. And so she says, I'm just going to stay here. And he said, okay. He said, but if you change your mind, I'll be over here. Come with me. And so he takes off and he leaves. Well, it isn't long before that apple tree begins to die. The fruit begins to quit being fresh. It begins to rot. Everything begins to change. The atmosphere has changed. Why? Because there was no life. There was no value in that place. The value was in Christ. And she didn't know it was his presence that brought life. So wherever he was, the life was going to come. It looked dark out there, but because Jesus was there, life would be there. And she had left the place that she had value for the place that she thought had value. Do you know this is why people get stuck in religion? This is why sometimes we think that what we found is the place that we need to stay, but it was actually Christ that brought any value. This is why religion takes place. This is why we sit down and we say, oh, we can't do anything but hymns. We can only do hymns because we found something there. We found Christ in that season when we were in a place where hymns were being played. Let me tell you, the hymns had no power. It was Christ that showed up that brought the presence and power in the midst of the hymns. It doesn't matter if it's a hymn or the most popular song. If Christ isn't in it, it has no value. It has no worth. You see, but we find ourselves thinking, well, only the piano can be played because we found value in that place. And so we say, oh, no. If we do anything other than a piano, we have missed it and we are out of line because we found Jesus when we played a piano and we mistook that piano as the thing that brought the presence of God. But then Jesus has moved on and he's not in that place and he's not in that style of music and he's not in that form of worship. It was Jesus who brought the presence. And do you know what brought Jesus's presence? It was never the piano. It was never the guitar. It was never the hipness. It was never the coolness. It was never the old style. It was not the new style. It was the heart of the people who cried out to him that brought his presence. It was the heart of the people, the longing and the yearning that brought him. God can be found anywhere. And when the heart cried out to him, he showed up through the hymns. And he showed up through the hip songs. And he showed up through all the cool preaching. And he showed up through the old style. It didn't matter. It was the heart. And so many people get stuck in this place because they found it valuable. And they let go of the one who had value. And now they're in a dead place where they don't feel the presence anymore. They're stuck in a dead religion. And they just keep moving forward because that's what they've always done. And that's what they valued. He said, Tammy, they didn't value me. They valued what they found in that place. And they didn't know it was him. And so, saints, we cannot find our value in anybody but Christ himself. And so he said, Tammy, they're living for something other than me. He said, they were doing things that, I wrote it down like this. People can get stuck in what they've always done and lose the one they were doing those things for. We get stuck in those things. And God said, if they love me, they'll go with me. But he said, if they found something of value apart from me, they'll stay with that thing until they know their value in me. And so, like the children of Israel, he said, they made gods out of their gold. And he said, my people begin to worship something that had no value in it. They missed it. And so I want to look, and we're gonna wrap up as we look at these last few verses. Ephesians 1 is where I want to go. Ephesians 1. And we can get stuck in continuing these cycles of trying to find value in things that can never supply what we're looking for. Don't get stuck in that. Your value is in Christ. You just need to seek Christ and you will come into your value. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7 is where we're going to go. So what I want to say is we need to understand our position in Christ, okay? And our position in Christ is a legal standing, okay? And second, you have to understand something here. Ephesians tells us we're seated in heavenly places, and that's what we're going to see here. We're seated in heavenly places. So look at verse 3. It said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has pleased us. I'm sorry, pleased us. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. I pick you. According as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, some versions say that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. And the Lord said this, the Father said this to me. He said, Tammy, a lot of people just need to take a seat. A lot of people need to just sit down. He said, when we first get saved, what do? We just start running. we start doing, because it's natural. We brought in that mindset of like, I've got to get to the top for God. That's what I've got to do. I've got to succeed. And if I'm not busy, then I'm not going to accomplish what he wants me to accomplish. And he said, child, you just need to sit down. You need to first draw really close to me and let me begin to tell you who you are. See, we got to know who we are before we start going out and doing the work. There's something to this. God said, if you don't, you get everything wrong. He said, some of my people need to sit down and draw real close to me. He said, you need to understand the first position you have is one of being seated. He said, when you're in Christ, I seat you right beside me. He said, I set you right beside me. And in fact, if you really want to get real, we're one with God, Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're seated in Christ. We're seated in Christ. So when we begin to understand that we are in Christ, we'll begin to understand our value and our worth. We're not working for him. We're working with him, and we're working in him, and he's working in us. And so I want to say this. He sat down because the work was finished. See, we're working from a position of it already being finished. We're going out, and we are telling the good news, and we are telling people what they need to know. We're giving them the words of life, but the work has really been done. And so this is not a laboring for something. This is a joyous thing to get to go out and spread the good news. We've got a message that needs to be sent out into the earth, and you and I are the vessels to send it. But God is the only one who can draw the vessel. God is the only one that can save the vessel. God is the only one that can change the vessel. We just have the words of life that can be sent out so that he can bring the change into their life. Amen? And so the first thing God wants us to do after coming into the family of God is to sit down. But we naturally want to get up and work and do all the things that we think would please him. But it's important we sit down and learn who we are in Christ, learn what we have in Christ, and what has been accomplished by Christ. Otherwise, we work from a wrong place. So in Christian life, in the Christian life, we are learning to live as God says we already are. I want you to understand, God has already said some things about you. In Ephesians 3 through 7 right here, 1, 3 through 7 are going to tell you who you are in Christ. You're not trying to get there. It's who you are, child. And God said, when we understand who we are in Christ, we'll live with purpose and satisfaction no matter what people think of us, no matter what gifts we have or don't have, no matter what position we have in the church or don't have, no matter whether people choose us or not. We hold on to Christ, not all these other things. No matter how much money we make, no matter what car we drive, we understand who we are. And all those things are blessings, not things that give us value and worth. Okay? So I want to tell you the first thing God wants to say, you are chosen. Well, actually, let me back up. You're blessed. I want to tell you, number one, you're blessed. The Bible says you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in Christ and you are blessed. You're not trying to be blessed. You're not trying to do enough that God will bless you. You are blessed. It is a fact. Your life is blessed right now. Whether things are up or down, whether things are great or bad, God said you're blessed. Child, you got to grab a hold of this. This helps because when you're going through difficult things, you can begin to say, I don't care what's happening in my life right now. I'm blessed. You see, I have to speak to my own soul. The Bible says the psalmist spoke to his own soul. He said, I say to my soul, I am blessed. I am blessed. God is with me. The Lord is at my side. You see, you're blessed. And the word blessed there actually means one of the meanings for it is a benefit. See, when you're in Christ, you have benefits. And all those benefits have already been provided, whether you take ownership of them or not. They're yours. You have benefits. God said, you are blessed. We used to be under the curse, but now we're blessed. And in fact, Jesus became the curse so we could have the blessings of Abraham. Go back into the Old Testament and look at the blessings of Abraham. I think maybe Deuteronomy 28 to 32, somewhere in there, it's the blessings. But those are yours. It says we're blessed when we leave our house. It's blessed when we come back in our house. It says our finances are blessed. It says our children are blessed. Our health is blessed. Our animals are even blessed. It says all these things are blessed. You say, but it don't feel like it. I can't see the blessing. I don't care what it looks like. You have to agree with God's word. That's where I reckon God's word is more real than what I see or what I feel. God said you're blessed. So you got to begin to believe it. Begin to receive it. I say, God, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed because you said it. Not because I feel like it, but because you said it. So we are blessed. Now, these blessings that Paul said in Ephesians 1 here that are ours are for the here and now, every day. They were for our lives right here. A lot of times people say, oh, those are spiritual blessings and we're going to get them when we go to glory. And you're going to get to glory and God's going to say, my child, I gave you those blessings for the earthly realm. You see, I gave them to you for the earthly realm and you didn't even take ownership of them and take them right then and there. You are blessed, child. So take that. Take the ownership of that. Start saying, I am blessed. I'm taking ownership of my blessings. My children are blessed. My family is blessed. My animals are blessed. Begin to speak the life out of your mouth, the blessing over your family. What did they do in Old Testament times? They spoke the blessing over everything. You remember how they would pull them in? They would pull them in when Moses was about to depart, when God was about to call him home. He called Joshua near, and he gave him a blessing. You see, they spoke the blessing over their family. Some of us have got to open our mouth and start blessing our family, start blessing our finances, start blessing our health. Start speaking blessings. Body, you are blessed because God said you were blessed. Now rise up and walk in the blessing of the Lord. Don't stand back anymore in sickness, but rise up in the blessing. I say my body is blessed. Pain, you got to go because my body is blessed and you're an enemy. You're a lie straight from the pit of hell. You can't stay because I'm blessed. You see, you begin to speak to it. I know that it doesn't appear that it's so, but I'm speaking the word of God, whether I see it or whether I know it or not, I speak it. Child, you got to start speaking the blessing over your life. God said you are blessed. Your children are blessed. But Tammy, you don't know what they're doing. They are blessed because the blessing of God is on them. And can I tell you why they're blessed? Because they belong to you and you belong to the Lord. They may be wandering all over the place, but you are over them. And I don't care if they're of age and they're adults or not. You're over them, child. And I'm telling you, they're blessed because you love God. And do you know what? God said this. He said, when you came into Christ, you got the blessing. It was not about you. It was about Christ. You see, if we ever catch this, that your blessings came because Jesus became the curse so that you could have the blessings. See, the Father looks at what Jesus did, and he said, oh, the blessings can be transferred to my children. It doesn't matter where they've been. It doesn't matter what they do. The blessings come on them because of what Christ did. You see, God made a way where you could have the blessings of Abraham, the blessings of God. Every spiritual blessing is yours, child. It's not based on you. So I want to say the number two, and then we're going to close. Number two is you're chosen. And this is where I said, Lord, what do you want to call today's message? He said, I pick you. Somebody today needs to know God picks you. You may feel overlooked by everyone around you. You may feel like you're never going to find the value and worth that you've been longing for because it just seems like you're never good enough. You can't talk well enough. You can't sing well enough. You're not good with your memory. You say, I can't remember scripture well enough. You say, I'm not cool enough. I'm not pretty enough. Whatever. The list goes on and on. I don't know what the enemy is saying in your head, but you know. You know the lies he keeps speaking to you. And God said today, child, I pick you. I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. He said, there is nothing that's going to cause me to come to a place in your life where I'm going to say, you know what, I take that back. I don't want to choose you no more. He said, I chose you, and it was for eternity. My choosing of you will never change. Why? Because I chose you based on the fact that you chose my son. And my son did everything that was needed so that I could get you back to me. He said all of this was about bringing you back to me. Jesus, listen, I find this so fascinating. I read this somewhere. It says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But sometimes we get stuck on the way. Come on. We don't make it to the destination. Jesus said, I'm the way. He also said, I'm the door. A door is an entrance to something. Jesus was not where you were supposed to stop. And people go, oh, that's blasphemous. I said, no, it's all glory to him because he's opened a door. Jesus has made a way. He, in fact, said he's a mediator. A mediator goes between two parties. What is he going between? He's going between us and the Father. Do you know in the Old Testament, I think it was in the Malachi, he said that it said that that God was going to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father and the Father's heart back to the children. I believe that's a spiritual picture. Yes, he wants to do it in the natural. But he's saying Jesus came to turn the heart of the Father back to the children by appeasing his wrath, by putting sin down once and for all, and dealing with sin. So then now he sent the good news out so the children could turn back to the Father. See, this is what's happening now. The Father's heart's already turned back to you. The Father's heart's already turned back to every human being. But now the heart of the children have to be turned back to the Father. The Father said, I choose you. And that's not going to change. And so God said, when you understand this, he said, when you understand that your life matters, you are not an accident. God chose you before the foundation of the world was laid. He chose you even when he knew all the bad you were going to do. He chose you. All the failures you were going to have, he chose you. All the places where after you would choose God and come into the family of God, after all that, and then you would mess up and you would make mistakes and you would fail, he still chose you. He knew all that. He knew it. He was not looking for you to be perfect. There is only one who is perfect, and that is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he's the perfect one. He was perfect so that God could choose us even in all our flaws. God could choose us. And so the Father wants to tell you today that he has not overlooked you. You have value and worth. And you were so valuable, his son came and laid his life down. And he let his son do that. And do you know they're one? So in fact, God came and laid his life down for you. And so God said, quit trying to find your value and your worth in some place, in something, or in someone. Now I want you to, we're going to close right here. I want to read Psalm 139, 17 and 18, and then we're going to close. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. It says, how precious are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand of the sea. When I awake, I'm still with you. Now, let me say this. Many people, and I was one of them for a long time, I thought all of God's thoughts about me, most of his thoughts I thought, were thoughts of frustration, irritation, anger, annoyance, disappointment. But the Bible says right here, his thoughts about us are precious. Did you know that? God's thoughts about you are precious. And they outnumber the sands of the sea. And I used to think that when I imagined that, I imagined the seashore, all the sand on the seashore. He said, no, Tammy, go out into the depth of the sea. He said, all the sand in the sea. He said, that is at the bottom of the ocean, the bottom of every sea, the bottom of every place that has sand. He said, put all that sand together. And that's how many thoughts I have about you. And every one of those thoughts are precious thoughts. You see, sometimes we think his wrath is forever on us. But God said, my love is everlasting. And we get these backwards. And the Lord said, my thoughts about you, child, are valuable and precious. He said, in fact, this is what I want to say. He said, I want you to close your eyes right now, okay? He said, I want you to close your eyes. And he said, I want you, because when he showed me this, guys, he showed me this picture of pulling me real close to him. He said, come in real close, like a little child with their father. He said, I just want to tell you for a minute who you are. So I want you to close your eyes and envision yourself being pulled right next to the Father. And listen to what he wants to say to you today. He said, I have precious thoughts about you. Child, my thoughts about you are so numerous, they outnumber the sands of the sea. And sometimes you think my thoughts about you are thoughts of frustration, irritation, disappointment, but I told you that my thoughts about you are precious. He said, in fact, my thoughts about you are thoughts of peace, thoughts about your safety, thoughts about your well-being. They're happy thoughts. They're friendly thoughts. They're thoughts about your health, thoughts about prospering you, thoughts about peace and not of evil. He said, I don't have thoughts of harming you. I don't have thoughts of bringing you sorrow and trouble, thoughts of grieving you and making you sad. In fact, my thoughts are to give you an expected end. I want to give you what you've expected. In fact, I want to meet your expectations, and I want to give you the thing you've longed for, child. This is how precious you are. Father, I thank you today that, God, you've chosen us. And, Father, we have at times not understood this. We've been working to be chosen. We thought if we did enough, you'd be pleased with us and you'd choose us. But you said, my child, just sit down. Come over here with me. Get away with me. Let me begin to bless you, to pour out my blessings on you, to pour out my precious thoughts on you. Let me tell you how wonderful you are. My thoughts towards you are tender thoughts. Father, I just ask right now that you break off the lies that we've been believing in Jesus' name. God, right now, set us free from the bondage of jealousy. God, trying to find our value and worth in things and peoples and positions and places and everything but you. Today, God, we lay those things down and we draw near to you. Because, God, we know that our value is in you. Our worth is in you. And, God, we don't want to miss it. And so, Father, I ask you to bless your people today. I ask you to bring them the revelation of who they are in you. Bring it to them, God. Awaken them right now. Awaken them. I heard the Spirit say this is not the end. Somebody feels like they're at an end in their life. They're almost given up. They just don't know how to continue. They're tired. They're exhausted. And they don't know how to go forward any further. They feel disappointed. That's what the Lord said. They feel disappointed because they thought things would look different. They thought things were going to work different. And they're not seeing what they expected. And he said, child, draw near to me. Let me wash away your disappointment. Let me wash away your discouragement. Let me bring you into a place where there is love, where there is hope, where there is value, and where there is worth. Father, we just want to thank you that you can do what we can't do. And I just see that little shoot of Christ, that little plant growing up even stronger right now. There's a breaking in some of us right now. He's getting through. God, I thank you that you're not going to stop, but what you started, you will complete. God, we thank you that you pick us. God, help us to believe it. Help us to believe it. Our place in your kingdom is assured. We don't have to fight and scramble for it. It's ours. God, cause us to be the people that will begin to push one another up because we know who we are in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I want to just say this and we'll shut down today. You're blessed, not trying to be blessed. You are chosen, not trying to be chosen. You're accepted. In fact, when you go on through Ephesians, it'll tell you you're accepted. You've been bought back from the enemy. You've been forgiven, and these are not things you can earn by being good enough. These are blessings the Father gave to you because you are simply in Christ. Religion tells you that you must be good enough, and then God will bless you, and then God will choose you, and then you will be accepted. But this is the good news, that Jesus Christ was the perfect one, and he became the curse so you could receive the blessings of God. Now, did you catch that? God blesses and chooses you because of what Christ did, not because of what you've done. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of the day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our awesome sister in Christ, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Y'all have a blessed day and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.